知道就是有哪些朋友是新来的，对他是有好处，因为这样的话他就可以也照顾到大家，让这个第一次来的朋友也能够听得懂圣典博迦瓦坛的信息。
So I've been requested to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, ninth chapter, 14th verse.
他说我被要求呢谈圣典博迦瓦坛第一篇第九章的。
I'll read the Sanskrit and then the translation and commentary. The language is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
所以我先读梵文，然后我再读这个圣恩 A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada 翻译和评注的那个部分。
Sarvam kala kritam mani bhavatam cha yad apriyam.Sapalo yad vashe loko vayor eva ganavali sarvam
sarvam
English?
Yeah, just the verse and
the purpose. Just the purpose, okay. Translation here. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time.Under whose control everyone in every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind.
译文，依我看，这一切都是由不可避免的时间造成的。正如风携带云朵，每个星球上的每个生物体都受时间的控制。
Purport.There is control by time all over the space within the universe, as there is control by time all over the planets.
要知，正如每一个星球上的一切事物都受时间的控制，宇宙中所有的空间都受时间的控制。
All the big gigantic planets, including the sun, are being controlled by the force of air.As the clouds are carried by the force of air.
如同空气的力量携带着云朵，所有巨大的星球，包括太阳在内，都被空气的力量所控制。
Similarly, the inevitable kala, or time, controls even the action of the air and other elements.
同样，不可避免的时间kala, 甚至控制着空气的活动。及其他元素。
Everything, therefore, is controlled by the supreme kala, a forceful representative of the Lord within the material world.
万事万物都被至尊时间所控制，而时间是至尊主在物质世界里的强有力的代表。
Thus, Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time.
所以尤迪斯蒂尔不该为时间不可思议的活动而感到难过。
Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world.
每一个人只要他还在物质世界中，就必须承受时间的作用和反作用。
Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth and is suffering the consequence.
Yudhishthira 不该认为他在前世犯了罪，所以要在这一生承受苦苦。
Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature.
就连最虔诚的人都不得不在物质自然环境中受苦。
But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahman and Vaishnava following the religious principles.
但虔诚的人因为在真正的 Brahmana 和至尊主的奉献者的指导下遵守宗教原则，所以始终对至尊主很忠诚。
These three guiding principles should be the aim of life.
人应该毕生在 Brahmana 的和至尊主的奉献者的指导下遵守宗教原则，而不该受永恒时间的恶作剧的打扰。
One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Different?
A little bit different. You just continue that.
Okay, even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time despite being a true follower of religious principles.
就连这个宇宙中的最高控制者 Brahma 都得受时间的控制。所以我们不该因为在真正遵守宗教原则的情况下仍受到时间的控制而感到心不甘情不愿。
Om Agyana Timbalanda Siyagananda Nasarakaya Chakshulam Vinitam Yenatasmai Shigiru Vinamaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nangayate Ganim Yakripatamaham Mande Shigunandi Nataranam Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Prachana Mini Vashesha Shanyavari Pasta Chade Satanine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaiti Gadar Hari Shri Vasari Gaurav Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This verse is about time.
首先呢，这节诗讲的是时间。
But I'm not going to take that much time to speak about it.
但是我不会花很多的时间去讲时间。
I'll speak. Try to summarize and the content of the verse, and also put it into context.
Okay, 那我呢是要给大家做一下这个总结，这样的话让大家了解这一节诗前前后后在讲什么，发生的是什么事情。
So it can help us to understand how to deal with time.
这样的话让我们帮助我们理解我们应该怎么样的去跟时间打交道。
Because time is something everybody has to deal with.
因为时间是我们每一个人不得不面对的。
And as described here, time is a representative of the supreme.
而在这节诗里呢，介绍说时间实际上是至尊者的代表。
So first, let us put this verse into context.
首先呢，我们先来谈这节诗前前后后在讲什么。
So it can help us. It would be helpful for us to understand who is speaking and to whom he is speaking.
这样的话就帮助我们了解现在是谁在说话，他在跟谁说话。
And why he's speaking.
为什么他说这番话。
So this verse is actually spoken by Bhishma Dev.
这节诗实际上是由 Bhishma Dev 讲的。
Bhishma Dev is very learned personality who's conversant with the Vedic literatures.
那 Bhishma Dev 这个人呢，他实际上是非常的博学，对于伟达的就是知识文化这个部分，他是非常精通的。
And is also fully understands the purpose of human form of life.
而且呢，他对于人生的真正的目的，他是非常清楚的。
And he also knows his connection with the Supreme.
而且他也知道人应该如何该跟至尊者相连。
Bhishma Dev had taken part in a very significant war.
当时这位 Bhishma 他呢参加了一场非常规模浩大的战争。
He was a warrior.
他是一个战将。
Very powerful warrior.
非常强有力的战将。
It's described that he had the strength of 10,000 elephants.
那么经典里描述说，当时就是那时候是古时候，他有一万头大象的力量。
In Sanskrit, that is known as a Maharatha, a great fighter.
所以呢，在梵文里头呢，就是形容他叫做 Maharatha， 意思就是伟大的战将。
And in this battlefield, there are many Maharathas.
那在这场战争当中，当时有很多很多这样的伟大的战将参战。
Bhishma Dev, was actually a, not only was he fully conversant with Vedic literatures, but he was a great mystic.
那 Bhishma 他不仅仅是在这个知识上面是非常非常精通的，而且他是一个神秘的瑜伽师。
He had the power to choose when he would leave this world.
他当时是具有一种力量，他可以选择他什么时候想离开这个世界才可以离开。
That is, of course, a very rare event to have power to choose.
那当然了，如果能够有这样的力量，就是有一种力量可以选择我什么时候死，我就什么时候死，这种是非常罕见的。
But that power was given to him in the form of benediction.
但是呢，当时呢，就是是他得到了这样的一种祝福，有这个力量。
And therefore, the circumstances under which he was speaking seemed very severe.
因此呢，他当时在讲这番话的时候，其实他的那个处境是非常的艰巨的一个处境。
Because under ordinary circumstances, a person lying in these circumstances would not maintain life and body.
因为如果是平常的一个人，像他那个样子，就是躺在战场上的话，那是已经死掉了。
He was lying on a bed of arrows.
他躺在什么上面？实际上他是万箭穿身，被插在地上，那么样插在地上。
And these arrows had pierced his body by other warriors.
那个当时是由其他的战将就是向他射箭，最后射满了箭的身上。
But he was maintaining his life within his body, so that he could take the opportunity to give transcendental wisdom to those who were surrounding him.
但是呢，他当时因为就是有了这样的祝福，有了这样的力量，因此他没有决定要马上死，而是等着这个合适的时机，能够把超然的知识啊，能够讲述给世人。
Because a person endowed with transcendental wisdom is always eager to give that knowledge to others.
因为一个人如果真正有了那个超然的智慧的话，他就总是非常渴望把这样的智慧给予世人。
Therefore, although he was lying in a very inconvenient situation.
所以尽管他当时万箭穿身呢，那个是一种什么状态？在那样的一个状态下，他那么平着在那个战场上。
He took advantage of those who were present to use that situation as a way to instruct others who were present before.
但是呢，他当时就是利用那样当时的那个处境，然后去给在他周围的人给他们一些教导。
So he is the person who is speaking this verse.
所以呢，他就是说这节诗的那个人。
Surrounding him were many saintly persons.
当时围在他身边的有很多很多的圣者贤人。
Many of them were great sages.
很多人都是非常了不起的瑜伽师圣人。
But among them was also the Pandavas.
但是呢，在这些个圣人当中，也有那个叫 Pandava 五兄弟在那个地方。
And the Pandavas were also great saintly kings who were the sons of Pandu.
这个 Pandava 五兄弟呢，他们实际上是非常了不起的那个君王 潘度的儿子，他们自己也是了不起的君王。
And one of the reasons why this very great war had taken place was to establish Yudhishthira Maharaj as the emperor of the world.
当时之所以最后有了这么一场规模浩大的战争，其实就是为了让这个有一个叫做 Yudhishthira 的那个把他立为王，才有了这场战争。
And Yudhishthira was one of the five Pandavas.
那 Yudhishthira 呢，是 Pandava 五兄弟当中的一个。
And all of these five Pandavas, they survived this battle in which millions of people were killed.
当时这场规模浩大的战争结束了以后，这个 Pandava 五兄弟他们是活下来了，可是却有千百万人在这场战争当中战死沙场。
Now, there were many reasons for this war, for having it taken place.
那当然了，这场战争除了刚才谈的那个原因，还有很多其他的原因，所以才爆发了。
And to explain all the reasons, we don't have enough time.
那如果要把所有的原因都讲全了的话，我们没有足够的时间。
So, because we're also under the influence of time.
因为我们大家也在时间的影响下。
We will not explain all the reasons, but we'll try to give those reasons which are most relevant to the verse which is being spoken.
那当然了，所以因为我们大家都受时间影响，所以我们不可能今天把所有的原因都讲全了。我们只讲跟这节诗有关的那些原因。
And that significant reason for which this verse is being spoken is because Yudhishthira Maharaj, as we said, was a very great saintly king.
那么就是这讲述这节诗的那个最重要的那个原因是什么呢？就是这位 Yudhishthira 王，他是一位非常了不起的君王。
He was a personification of religiosity.
他实际上当时他是宗教之王的化身。
And he was worthy of being emperor of the world because he could rule the world in such a way that whereby everybody could derive not only material well-being but spiritual well-being as well.
他当时之所以非常有资格配当那个帝王，是因为如果他统治了全世界的话，那么人们整个地球上的人们不仅仅在物质方面是快乐的，在灵性上也会得到提升。
And according to the circumstances, Yudhishthira Maharaj was also the rightful heir to the throne after the demise of his father.
那当然了，实际上这位尤迪斯蒂尔王本来他就是有权继承他父亲潘度的王位的。
Nonetheless, there was an attempt made to usurp his position as emperor by an opposing force.
但是呢，就是那个敌对跟他们敌对的那一方就耍了各种的阴谋诡计，要篡夺那个王位给他。
And there were many intrigues meant attempted in order to take away the right for Yudhishthira Maharaj to be the emperor of the world.
当时他们为了能够就是把这个王位给篡夺掉，他们做出了各种各样的，反正就耍了各种各样的阴谋诡计。
And because the Pandavas were all, they were called Kshatriyas, warriors, and they were all fully capable of ruling as warriors.
但是呢，当时因为这个潘达瓦五兄弟全部都是非常有资格的战将、君王那样的人。
Therefore, they were simply asking, please, from the people who are usurping the kingdom, please at least give us some land where we can rule.
尽管他们是非常有资格当君王的，但是对方就是不给他们这个地位，然后他们就是很谦卑的，就是要求说，你们只给我们一点点土地，让我们去履行我们当君王的职责。
Because to rule is our dharma.
因为去统治那个是我们的宗教职责 dharma.
Everyone has a particular dharma or a particular nature and which they're supposed to execute duties in this world.
实际上每一个人在这个世界上都有他自己的本性，而且跟随他的本性而来的该履行的那些个职责。
And it was the dharma of the Pandavas to act as kshatriyas or rulers, who were only interest was to protect the citizens.
当时呢，这个潘达五兄弟他们作为君王，他们的 dharma， 他们的职责就是要去统治世界，让世人过上啊这个幸福快乐的生活。
But when the request was made, even for some 5 pieces of land where they could rule.They were told they would not even have sufficient land even to put the head of a pin on.
但是当他们就是要求那个篡夺了他们王位的人说，你们就给我们5块小的地就好了，让我们能够在上面去履行我们的职责。结果对方告诉他们说，连立锥之地都不会给你们。
And therefore that became the basis for this.Great War, the Battle of Kurukshetra.
而这个呢，就成了这场库鲁拆船、库鲁这个战场上的一个战争的那个根源。
And to describe the whole war, you would have to read Mahabharata.
那为了如果大家想知道那场战争整个的发生情况的话，就得读另外一部史诗，叫做《摩诃波罗多》，大家有听过吗？中学都学过摩诃波罗多 Mahabharata.
But this conversation is taking place just after the war.
那现在我们学的这一节诗文，我们读这节诗文是什么呢？是整个那场战争打完了以后讲出来的话。
And there were only a few survivors.
而那场战争结束以后，只有几个人活下来，很少的一些。
Because in the Vedic times, a kshatriya, a warrior was.His duty was to fight.
因为在古老的那个韦达时代，所有的那些个武士战士，他们都是必须要战死沙场的。
And real kshatriya was meant to fight to protect religious principles.
而真正的那些个武士战士，他们打仗是为了什么？是为了保护宗教原则。
So they were trained to be either victorious or to die.
所以他们被训练的就是，要么你就是胜利者，要么你就战死沙场。
Which meant to be killed on the battlefield.
战死沙场。
So, only if, as I said, only a few survived, and of those few who survived were the Pandavas.
所以呢，后来只有少数的一些人活下来了，而这个少数的活下来的人里面就是潘达瓦五兄弟。
And Yudhisthira Maharaj.As we said, was present before Bhishma day.
那后来呢，就是在那个时候，那位尤迪斯蒂尔王，他就是正好就在毗湿玛的身边。
And Yudhisthira Maharaj was bewildered.
而尤迪斯蒂尔王当时是完全是处在一种迷惑的状态下。
Because he was feeling very bad that so many.People were killed. And it was only to establish him as the emperor of the world.
因为当时吧，就是他知道整个这场战争是为了把他重新立为王，而他就觉得哇，为了我把我立为王，那么多人被杀死了，他心里非常难过。
And he was thinking, actually, I'm the cause for this terrible war.
所以他当时就想说。整个这场战争，可怕的战争发生，都是因为我引起来的。
And in his heart, he was feeling very sorry for what had happened, and thinking, why did this all have to happen just to establish me as emperor?
所以他在心里头就感到特别的难过和遗憾，就是为什么就是为了把我立为王，要让这么可怕的战争发生呢？
And here's Bhishma Dev.Lying on a bed of arrows, who also took part in the battlefield on the other side.
那当然了，这位毗湿玛大夫呢，他当时也是参与了这场战争，只不过他是站在尤迪斯蒂尔的那个对方的阵营里面。
And he is about to reveal with his deep wisdom the higher purpose for this event.
所以他呢。就要开始给我们大家揭示出来，他对于这场战争为什么要发生的，他的那种非常有智慧的看法。
One of the verses he spoke, which comes, I think, maybe just like 2 verses later.
其中他有讲了一节诗，就是基本上是这节诗后面的2节诗的。
He said, "Nihyasya kahichid rajan humadveda nidhitsatam yad vichigyasya yukta mulyanti kaveyopihi. He said that it's very difficult to understand the plan of the Supreme.
他说实际上想要了解至尊者至尊神所制定的计划是非常困难的。
Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, still they're bewildered.
哪怕那些个特别大的那些个哲学家们绞尽了脑汁也没办法想明白他的计划。
In other words, he was indicating that there was a higher plan.
因此呢，实际上他就是在表明整个这场战争的发生是有更高的一个计划导致的。
And that he, the Pandavas, and everyone else who had taken part were simply a part of that higher plan.
而他潘达瓦五兄弟还有所有参战的人，不过是那个更高的计划的一部分。
And he wanted to also to alleviate the pain in the heart that Maharaj Yudhisthira was feeling.
他当时呢，而且也想把这个 Maharaj 就是这个 Yudhisthira 王心中所感受到那种痛苦，帮他去除掉。
And therefore, he's giving his opinion in this verse. One of the reasons why this had taken place.
因此，为了这些原因，他才讲述这节诗。给这个君王说 ，OK， 这件事情发生背后的原因是什么
？One of the reasons why this had taken place because it was all due to the influence of time.
所以他在讲说，其中的一个原因就是所有的一切都是在受时间的影响，在时间影响下。
He says, in my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time under whose control.Everyone and every planet is carried.
所以他就说了，实际上呢，整个所有发生这一切都是由于时间的影响，而在时间的影响下，每一个人、每一个星球其实都不可避免的要受到影响。
Because everything, for anything to happen, it must happen under the influence of time.
因为真相就是什么？真相就是所有的一切都会在。时间到来的时候发生。
Nothing can happen unless there's time.
如果那个时间没到的时候，那个事情是不会发生的。
Right. If there's no time, then how can anything have a beginning or an end?
所以呢，如果没有时间这个因素的话，事情也就不会发生了。因为没有时间，意思就是没有开始，也没有结束。
How could any event happen?
所以事情怎么会发生呢？
How could any of you have come here at 6 o'clock?
所以大家怎么可能六点钟来到这儿呢
？What is 6 o'clock if there's no time?
如果没有时间这个因素的话，哪里有六点钟这么一说呢
？Nothing. Everything happens under the influence of time.
所以所有的一切都是在时间的影响下发生的。
And this time, is actually called kalarupa.
那时间的梵文叫做 kalarupa。
Kala means eternal time, and rupa means form.
Kala 的意思是永恒的时间，而 rupa 的意思就是形象。
And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, "Kalosmi, I am time."
在这个博迦梵歌里 ，Krishna 就跟 Arjuna 说了，我就是时间。
He said, "I, one of my features that I've come to manifest in this world is the form of time."
至尊神就说了，当他来。展现在这个世界的时候，其中一个这个它的展现的方式就是以时间的形式展现。
Because time destroys everything in this world.
因为时间就会把这个世界里所有的一切都毁灭掉。
Of course, although time destroys everything in this world, that means time destroys everything which is material.
那当然了，说时间会毁灭这个世界里的一切，是指时间会毁灭物质的一切。
But time has no influence upon that which is non-material or spiritual.
但是呢，对于非物质的，或者叫做灵性的，时间是没办法影响的。
One of the first instructions, spiritual instructions given in Bhagavad Gita.To Arjuna on this battlefield of Kurukshetra.
那这个在这个当时这个战争发生前，就至尊者就对 Arjuna 讲了很多话教导他，其中他的一个教导是
，As he told Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist.
他就跟 Arjuna 说，从没有一刻我不存在。
Never was there a time that you, Arjuna, did not exist.
Arjuna, 从没有一刻你不曾存在过。
Never was there a time when all these assembled kings and warriors on this battlefield did not exist.
从没有一刻在战场上站着的所有这些君王和武士不曾存在过。
Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
而且哪怕是将来我们在这儿的每一个人都会永恒的存在下去。
This, of course, is a difficult conception to maintain.
而这个当然了，对我们来说是一种很困难的一种要想理解的一个概念。
Because our experience within this world, being conditioned by the laws of matter, is that everything has a beginning and an end.
因为我们现在呢，因为累生累世在这个世界里面摸爬滚打，已经变成条件反射了。那种条件反射的认知就是，所有的一切都有开始的时候，有结束的时候。
And to even think of something that has no beginning, it's hard to wrap our minds around.
所以对我们来说，想要去理解说有一件什么事物是没有开始存在的时间，它就一直存在了，对我们来说，我们是没办法理解的。
It's actually called a chincha, inconceivable.
啊，所以呢，这梵文叫 chincha, 意思是这个概念是不可思议的。
Which is one of the potencies of the supreme, a chincha shakti.
而这个不可思议实际上也是至尊主的一个能量。
It is an inconceivable potency to try to conceive of that which has no beginning and that which has no end.
啊，所以呢，在他这个能量的影响下，我们对于有什么存在，就是没有开始存在，也没有结束存在的那个时候，对我们来说是不可思议的。
But Krishna told Arjuna, for the soul,There's never birth nor death.
啊，但是呢 ，Krishna 就跟尔朱呢说，对于我们那个真正的我叫灵魂来说，从来都没有什么开始和结束的时候。
Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be?
啊，他从来没有就是开始存在或者是结束存在。
He's unborn.
他本来就是不经出生就存在。
Undying.
而且是从来都不会死的。
Primeval.Primeval, eternal,
啊，它是永恒的
，ever existing,
而且是永恒存在的。
He's not slain when the body is slain.
啊，当这个身体被消灭的时候，它不会被毁灭。
This is, Krishna's instruction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
所以这个就是 Krishna 在当时要开打的那个 Kurukshetra 战场。之前在战场上给尔朱呢讲的话
，which inspired Arjuna to perform his duty.
啊，当时呢是为了激励尔朱呢能够去正常的履行他的职责。
Because Arjuna also being very saintly and very compassionate.
因为尔朱呢这位战将，他也是非常圣洁、非常虔诚，而且是慈悲为怀的一个人。
When he saw all the armies that had assembled on the battlefield on the opposing side, ready to fight with him.
当时他看到那么多的全世界、全球那么多的君王都聚集在这个战场上，而且站在他们的那个对方的阵营里，准备跟他打仗。
He was also beginning to think.How can I kill these people?
他当时也想说，我怎么忍心杀得了这些人？
On the opposing side are even my own relatives.
而且在这个对方的阵营里头，甚至我的亲戚也站在那儿。
My grandfather Bhishma is on the opposing side.
我的爷爷这个 Bhishma 居然站到了对方的阵营里面。
How can I fight?
我怎么能去打这场仗？
He started to think, better I just...Give up this fight and retreat to the forest.
哈，所以他当时就想说，我最好就干脆放弃不打了，我就到森林里头去隐居去算。
And therefore, one of the great events that took place on this battlefield of Kurukshetra was Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions to Arjuna.
由于他当时就不想履行自己的职责了，所以才有了这个薄伽梵歌，也就是至尊神 Krishna 开始跟这个 Arjuna 讲话，教导他。
Because there was a higher plan for this event to take place.
因为实际上这场战争啊，除了那个表面的原因以外，有更高的那个计划要执行。
And therefore, Arjuna had to understand that he was simply meant to be an instrument for that fulfillment of that plan.
所以当时尔朱呢，他必须要明白，他不过就是那个更高的计划里面的一个工具，来去完成这个计划一步。
So. Krishna explained to Arjuna about the eternality of the soul.
所以呢，当时在战场上 ，Krishna 就跟 Arjuna 讲了那个真我，灵魂是永恒不灭的。
And therefore, one of the reasons why he explained that is so that Arjuna could understand that actually you're not killing anybody on this battlefield.
啊，他当时之所以是这样给他就是讲这揭露了这个知识，就是要让他知道，实际上。他并不是说在战场上去真正让人家死的那个。
Because the soul can never be killed.
因为实际上灵魂永远都不会被杀死。
Now, of course, it is one understands the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic literatures, and they hear about killing.
那但是呢，当有的人就是说知道这个薄伽梵歌啦、韦达典籍啦等等等等的，那这时候听到有关杀戮的问题。
One should never falsely utilize these teachings as a justification for unnecessary killing.
大家千万不要这么听完了以后就开始利用这个知识，然后就给自己去杀人找借口去。
There is a difference when warriors are assembled on the battlefield to fight with each other.To protect religious principles and to protect the interests of the people.
这个当战争啊、当这个战士走上战场，目的是为了保护宗教原则，是为了保护自己的国民的利益的时候，那是不一样的。
Because there is a higher purpose.
因为那个有更高的、崇高的目的。
And it's not that innocent children or women or.Elders should be unnecessarily killed.
所以呢，不要因为这个，然后就以为什么这些个无辜的孩子啊、妇女啊、老人呢，随随便便就可以就没有必要的就把他们给杀了。
And even in the Vedic times, when these events took place, when there was fighting, that fighting would only take place during the day.
当以前在古时候很文明的那个时代的时候，当有战争发生的时候，都是在白天才打仗。
And in the evening, they would get together.
到了晚上的时候，两方的那些个战士就会聚到一起去联欢去了。
It was always according to.Specific codes, Kshatriya codes.
他们都是根据这个 Kshatriya 的特定的那些个规定才去作战。
And everyone was trained according to Kshatriya codes.
每一个战士战将都是受到那个 Kshatriya 的那个特殊的训练。
No one could ever kill somebody from the back.
没人说要可以就是从人家背后就是给人家捅刀子。
Fighting was only face to face.
那个。作战的话必须是面对面的作战。
These were the codes of a warrior to fight.
这些都是武士战将必须遵守的规定。
And therefore the warriors understood that entering the battle was, I have to fight, either win or die.
所以呢，所有当时的那些个Kshatriya那些战将，他们都受到训练，很明白的知道，一旦我踏上这个战场，我要么就是赢得战争，要么就是被杀死在战场。
And that's why the warriors were never killed in the back, because they were always facing their enemy.
正因为如此，那些个战将武士绝对不会到别人背后去杀人去，他都是面对面的作战。
They wouldn't turn their backs to flee.
他们当然了，那些个战将也从来没有就被人家从背后杀死，因为他们从来都不会转身逃跑，然后被别人从没有这种事。
Anyways, there are so many important instructions which are given about proper codes of religion which have to be maintained in the execution of religious battlefield.
所以呢，当然了，总之就是要让大家知道，就是为了维护宗教原则而去作战的话，那么战将都必须要遵从很多的符合宗教原则的规律。
But the essence was is that Krishna was telling Arjuna, and Bhishma also was speaking about this principle about the eternality of the soul.
所以呢，最关键的精华就是在战争开打前 ，Krishna 跟 Arjuna 讲灵魂是永恒的。那现在 Bhishma 又在讲灵魂是永恒的。
And therefore, Bhishma is giving one of the reasons why everything had taken place, and it's because of the time factor.
正因为如此 ，Bhishma 现在就在讲了啊。之所以发生这样的事情，实际上是时间影响的作用。
And everyone is under the influence of this time.
而且告诉我们大家说，没有一个人不受时间的影响。
And he was trying to explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj that you should not feel guilty for what has taken place.
所以呢，他当时想要劝说尤迪斯蒂尔王说，你就是发生的所有这一切，你不需要为之而感到就是有罪的感觉。
He's also saying neither should you feel that you've committed sins in a previous life, and the suffering that you're experiencing now is the result of previous sins.
所以呢，你既不应该，就是你不应该，就是认为都是你引起的。第二一个，你不应该认为你现在所受的这些个内心的折磨和痛苦，都是因为你前世做了恶，然后现在你在承受恶报。你不应该这么想。
Because for an ordinary soul, that is also another event that takes place due to the influence of time.
因为对于一些其他的普通的灵魂来说，那么都是在时间的影响下。不同的事情不断的展开。
It's called karma.
那个叫做 karma， 就是业报。
And karma also manifests under the influence of time.
因为那个业和最后的那个报应，也都是我们不是有句话叫做“不是不报，是时间未到”，是时间才会展现。
There are two types of karma. One is called prarabdha karma, and the other is called aprarabdha karma.
所以说业报也分两种，或活动分两种，一个是
two types of karma.
Yeah,
the sanskrit prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma.
Prarabdha karma.
Prarabdha.
Aprarabdha karma.
Prarabdha karma means manifest karma.
The prarabdha 那个 karma 是已经展现出来的业报。
And aprarabdha karma is karma that's not yet manifest yet, but it's waiting to manifest.
那个 aprarabdha karma 是那个潜伏在那还没有展现出来，但是即将要展示出来的。
It's lying dormant, waiting to manifest.
所以它是处在潜伏期的那个状态下的业报。
And how does it eventually manifest?
那最后怎么能够就展现出来了呢
？Time.
就是时间到的时候就展现了。
It's not manifest yet, but it's still going to manifest.
就是现在还没有展现出来，但是终将就会展现出来。
So karma means that if one engages in a particular sinful activity, then there is a reaction.
那所以呢，就是这个业报的意思，就是人从事了这个罪恶的活动，到最后就会有这个恶报这件事。
Prarabdha karma means that it's a reaction that we're already tasting in this life.
那这个 prarabdha 那么就已经展示了的那个业报呢，就是说我们现在已经在体验到的、承受的那个报应。
Like a legal implication. Legally implicated? Like a legal implication, like somebody who's being taken to court for a legal implication. Somebody who's is a defendant in a court case.
Okay. 所以呢，就是这个就像是他说了一个法律的术语啊，我不是太明白，所以他给我解释一下，就是等于就是说我们在这个法庭上不是被判罪嘛，所以有那个为自己辩护啊什么的这个。
That's one form of prarabdha karma.
所以呢，这个就是正在被判了个罪的，在承受。
A disease.
或者是疾病
are the form of suffering.
哦、oh, ，OK， 所以现在明白了他的这个逻辑了，就是比方说我们有一些个法律纠纷，我们有疾病，或者我们受其他的苦，我们已经体验这些东西了，这些都是展示的。
Some suffering that we're experiencing now, which is was manifest as a result of some activity engaged in previously.
我们现在所这个体验到的那些个痛苦，都是我们以前做的不好的事情，然后现在那个业报展现了。
And generally, we try to overcome the influence of prarabdha karma.
一般的情况下，我们都想要努力的回避那些个展现了的那些痛苦。
By trying to counteract it.
我们希望就是怎么能够就是去对抗啊，或者是抵消啊。
And our attempts to counteract prarabdha karma simply creates more karma for the future.
但是呢，我们如果就是跟这个所谓的命运作对，要一直不断的想要去回避、抵消我们该受的那些罪，实际上我们在这么做的努力的过程当中，我们就在制造更多的业。
And that's upper of the karma. Unmanifest. It's not manifest yet, but just wait. Wait a little time and you'll see it will come.
Okay.
And that's upper of the
karma. So you said
we are experiencing both prarabdha karma and upper of the karma simultaneously.
Yeah. 所以呢，我们现在实际上是同时的就在经历承受已经展示了的业报，然后还有呢，就是将要展示的那个，我们总是想要回避。
It's just like we never know. One of the reasons given for fear is because we never know what's going to happen in the future.
我们大家有的时候无名的感到无名的恐惧，是因为什么？就是我们不知道什么时候到时候要发生什么事儿。
So therefore, because we don't know what's going to happen, we always try to calculate to avoid something happening.
所以如果像我们不知道未来要发生什么了，因此我们一直脑子里在算计，我到底怎么能够避免今后发生我所预想到的那些事情。
As if we can control our destiny.
就好像是我们可以控制我们的命运一样。
We try to organize our life to avoid something unpleasant happening in the future.
所以现在我们每一个人都是在努力的安排我们的生活，然后希望透过这样的安排就能够避免今后受苦了。
But it comes.
但是到最后还是该来的就来了，躲也躲不掉。
We don't plan for it. We don't make arrangements for it. But it comes.
我们并没有就是说去计划我们要受苦，或者说我们去安排我们要受苦。但是最后痛苦还是不请自来了。
Why does it come?
为什么它来了呢？
Because of time.
因为时间的影响。时间到。
That unmanifest karma will over some time it will gradually manifest.
所以就是那些个未展示的那些个报应，它时间到了以后，它就会就是随着时间的流逝，它就逐渐开始展示出来。
And there's no way to avoid it.
实际上根本就没有什么方法能够避免那样的那个。
We can try to make so many arrangements. Oh yes, I'll be happy, and no, this won't happen, that won't happen, but it comes.
我们在生活当中，我们可以做各种各样的努力，想要就是让自己快乐，然后想要去 OK， 透过我们的努力安排，这些事情就不发生了。
So of course, the intelligent person should understand why do I have to accept these reactions.
所以呢，真正有智慧的人，就是他应该明白所有这一切的原因是什么，然后呢，怎么能够接受那个。
An intelligent person should try to understand what is the root cause of that suffering.
有智慧的人应该明白那个痛苦到底是什么根源引起来的。
Because simply to counteract the suffering and create more suffering It's like blowing on a boil to relieve a painful boil.
因为如果不去把根源去除掉，而是只是老是想做一些努力来抵消自己的那些恶业的话，但在这么做的过程当中，又制造了新的业。这么做只不过就像是一个人身上长了一个大脓包、大疖子，然后你就一天到晚就吹一吹就算。
Boil is due to the impurities in the blood. One has to go to the root, not treat the symptom.
因为那个最后的那个脓包，最后它就那些毒素就会进入血液里头，所以你必须要去根除它。
So the root cause is ignorance.
而是什么？那个根源究竟是什么？就是愚昧无明。
It's called avidya, ignorance.
就是 avidya, 就是愚昧无明。
Vidya means knowledge, and avidya means without knowledge.
Vidya 梵文的意思就是知识 ，avidya 的意思就是没有知识。
And what is that ignorance?
而那个愚昧无明是什么呢
？The ignorance is to be ignorant about our eternal identity.
那个真正的愚昧就是对我们永恒的那个身份完全不了解。
Ignorant about the self.
也就是对真正的自我完全不了解。
Different types of symptoms of avidya is to think that that which is temporary is eternal.
那么这种无知所表现出来的不同征象就是把短暂视为永恒。
To think that which is pleasure,
Suffer is pleasure.
Yeah, to think that which is suffering is pleasure.
然后对愚昧的另外一个特征就是把那个痛苦的视为是快乐的。
To accept that which is not the self, to be the self.
把这个假我不是真正的自我扮演的角色视为是真我。
This is ignorance.
这些都是愚昧的表现。
And therefore, that is the root cause of suffering.
这个愚昧无明才是痛苦的根源。
And as long as one remains in ignorance, then reactions to life will have to come.
所以说人只要让自己还是保持在愚昧无明的状态下的话，那么接下来就会一直不断的继续受。
And why will it come?
为什么会要来呢？
Because we're all under the influence of time.
因为最后我们都是受时间的影响，只要时间一到，我们就得承受那个。
And Bhishma is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj.
那 Bhishma 就告诉 Yudhisthira 王。
He said, "You're not sinful."
他说你并不是罪恶之人。
You have no past karma.
你过去并没有制造什么恶业。
And therefore, this is not a result of your karma.
所以现在你所受的苦并不是你得到的那个恶报导致的。
It may look like it's the result, but it's not the result of your karma.
看起来好像是那个恶报引起的痛苦，但实际上不是。
Because Yudhisthira Maharaj, as we explained, was a saintly king.
因为刚才就像我们解释了，尤底斯帝王是一个圣洁的君王。
He was a personification of religion.
他是宗教的人格化身。
He never engaged in any kind of sin.
他从来都不会去做任何一个罪恶。
But yet, he was suffering because he was thinking, all of this happened because of me.
但是呢，他当时却内心非常的痛苦，因为他认为现在所发生的一切都是我引起来的。
And Bhishma Dev is telling him, no.No, it's not because of your sinful activities.
那这个 Bhishma Dev 就跟他说了，不是这个样子的，不是因为你做了什么不好的引起的罪过。
It's because of time.
实际上发生的所有这些事情都是时间的影响导致。
And all of us are under the, as long as we're in this world, we're under the influence of time.
我们只要还身处在这个世界里头，我们就会一直不断的受到时间的影响。
And you're not suffering the reactions of time.
你并不是在受那个恶报的苦。
As an ordinary person suffers the reactions to previous karma.
而其他的普通人呢，他们之所以受苦，都是业报造成的。
Srila Prabhupada explains in the commentary.
这个圣啪啪的在这个要旨里头就解释到。
He said that Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sins in his previous birth. He was suffering the consequences.
所以他就里头说了, Yudhishthira 不应该认为自己是这样受苦，是因为就是过去他所从事的什么恶业。
Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature.
Okay, 就连最虔诚的人都不得不在物质自然环境中受苦。
But a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahman and Vaishnava following the religious principles.
但虔诚的人因为在真正的Brahmana和至尊主的奉献者的指导下遵守宗教原则，所以始终对至尊主很忠诚。
These three guiding principles should be the aim of life.
而这些个就是原则的这些指导应该是我们生命的目标。
One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time.
人应该毕生在这个Brahmana和至尊主的奉献者指导下遵守宗教原则而不该受永恒时间的恶作剧的打扰。
Even the greatest control in the universe, Brahmaji.
就连这个宇宙中的那个最高的控制者Brahma.
Who lives for 312 trillion years.
我们得用黑板算了，我说不出来了，他活的时间可是特别的长。
He's under the influence of time.
就连那个寿命那么长的人，他都受时间的影响。
Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time.
所以呢，我们不该这个因为在真正遵守宗教原则的情况下，仍然受到时间的控制而感到心不甘情不愿。
He's telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't. You should not feel resentful about how time has brought all of this about.
所以呢，就是说，你不应该因为时间最后的影响，让我们受到所有这些个就是痛苦，然后就觉得特别的难过。
You, all the kings, and myself, and everyone else here, we are all under the influence of this time.
毕士玛就跟他说了，你我以及所有这些战场的这些君王，都是在时间的影响下。
So, the point that Bhishma Dev was trying to make to Yudhishthira Maharaj.
所以呢，毕士玛，他试图跟这个Yudhishthira王强调的重点是。
He was trying to make him understand you're not responsible for this.
他就想跟他说，其实他并不应该就是认为他是整个这件事情的那个责任者。
Time is responsible.
实际上是时间在负责任。
And where does time come from?
那这个时间是从哪里来的呢？
He is the supreme controller of time.
哎，这个至尊者就是时间的控制者。
It is he who creates time.
而且时间是由他创造。
Because nothing could be created without time.
因为要不然的话，没有那个时间的话，接下来所有的一切也不能被创造出来。
How could something which has been created, such as this world, ever come about unless there was time? There was time. How could something like this world, which was created, ever come about, appear, unless there was time?
因为如果没有整个时间的话，怎么会有这样的一个宇宙存在呢？就是宇宙存在在这个时间创造之前没有。
So before creation took place, time had to appear.
所以呢，在创造这个宇宙之前，他先要创造那个时间。
Therefore, once time is created, then creation can take place.
所以呢，他先创造了时间，然后才创造了这个宇宙。
And we don't have time to go into all of that detail.
那当然了，就是整个的这个创造啊，什么这些的，我们没有办法去详细的去讲。
But essentially, the important point to understand.
但是呢，就是我们要了解的最重要的这个要点是。
Is that once we know how time works.
当我们了解了时间是如何运作的话。
And once we can accept how it works.
当我们接受了它时间是怎么运作的。
And accept the higher plan of the supreme.
而且当我们接受了至尊者所制定的更高的那个计划。
By surrendering to the supreme plan,
我们透过就是完全臣服于这样的一个更高的计划，
we can become free from the influence of time.
我们就可以不再受时间的影响了。
Srimad Bhagavatam states,
圣典博迦瓦坛说明,
both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life for everyone.
圣典博迦瓦坛就说了，日出日落使得人的寿命越来越减少。
Except for one who utilizes the time to discuss transcendental topics.
只有那些个利用时间utilize time
one. Except for one who utilizes the time to discuss transcendental topics.
Okay. 好了，我从整个这句话重说啊，日出日落使得人的寿命越来越短，但是那些个会利用时间、善用时间去寻找超然知识的人就不受这个影响。
Because it's the discussion of transcendental topics which brings our consciousness beyond this world of time.
因为这种对于超然主题、超然内容的谈论就会把我们的意识提升到超越时间影响的那个范畴。
And because consciousness is eternal.
因为我们的那个意识是永恒的。
Consciousness is not manifest when you put a few chemicals together, you have consciousness.
这个意识不是什么一些个化学元素组合到一起，然后就有了意识了。
Consciousness is always existing. That's the elementary teaching of Bhagavad Gita.
所以佛家梵歌里头的最这个重要的这个教导，一直在教导的就是一直告诉我们。意识是永恒的。
You existed, Arjuna, before this body appeared.
就是 Arjuna, 你在这个身体出现之前，你已经存在了。
And when this body is finished, you continue to exist.
当你现在的这个身体结束了以后，你还会继续存在下去。
And everyone else, all the kings present, they all exist.
所有战场上的这些君王都是这个样子，永恒的存在着。
That means their consciousness exists.
那这里说的是什么？不是身体，而是说的他们那个意识是永恒存在。
Therefore, one should utilize time wisely.
所以人应该有智慧的、明智的善用时间。
Because time will just take everything away.
因为到最后，时间就会把所有的一切都夺走。
Krishna says, "I've come to take everything away from you in the form of time."
Come to take everything.
Krishna says, "I have come to take everything away from you in the form of time."
Okay, so Krishna 在《博迦梵歌》里就说了，我以时间的形式到来，拿走你所有的一切。
But Krishna will not take away life.
但是至尊神 Krishna 永远都不会把我们的生命给拿走。
So therefore, when we bring our consciousness to transcendental consciousness.
所以当我们提升我们的意识到超然的意识层面的时候，
by utilizing the time to discuss transcendental topics.
我得颠倒过来说，就是说，当我们善用时间去谈论超然的主题，我们就把我们的意识从普通的层面提升到超然的层面了。
This is the way to overcome the influence of time.
这样做才是能够就是不受时间影响的那个方法。
And this is also when one overcomes the influence of time, one will not have to accept any more reactions to karma.
所以当人使自己不再受时间的影响的话，那么今后他也没有再有什么要受什么业报，恶业、善业的这些苦，我都不受。
Now, just what is that state of consciousness which is beyond time?
但那个超越时间的那个意识状态是什么呢？
We'll have to discuss that some other time.
那么我们得用另外的时间去谈了。
Because time has taken away our class.
时间就把我。
I can see some of you are already looking at your watch.
因为我看到有些人已经在看您的表了。
So we should stop here.
所以我们就在这里结束了。
Everything has a beginning and an end.
所有的一切都有开始和结束。
Class is over.
现在课结束了。
Any questions?
大家有什么问题吗？再继续讲一句，我就要昏过去了。
那如果我们受时 需要买保险吗?
If we, you know, we under the influence of time, so shall we, do we need to buy the life insurance?
Do we need to buy life? What was the first part of the question?
If we all, you know, under the influence of time,
yeah.
we need to buy life insurance.
Well, there's no insurance which is going to guarantee that you'll stay in this life forever, in this body forever.
没有一个那个生命保险能够确保你能够一直在这个身体里活下去。
Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, used to say the death rate today is the same as it was millions of years ago. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the death rate, the rate of people dying, is the same as it was millions of years ago.
Okay, Shambhala 就说了，就是现代人就是到时候就死了，跟以前的人到时候就死了是一样的。It's
100%.
嗯，这百分之百，嗯，这是肯定的。古人也死，现代人也死。
So of course, generally we get life insurance for the benefit of those who will. Take advantage of it after we die.
他说实际上买生命保险都是为了那个在我们之后死的人，让他们受益。But
getting life insurance for ensuring that we won't die.
所以说，如果我们买生命保险是为了自己最后不死的呢？That is foolish. 但如果真买这种保险的话，是愚蠢的行为，是有没有卖保险的。
But if you want to benefit the others who can take advantage, then yes, you can get life
insurance.对啊，但如果你比如想为你的后人着想，让他们受益的话，那你可以买。
But they will die too.
啊，但是他们也得死。老师，我请教一下哈。啊。
那个我们在从事物质活动的时候 ，OK， 那刚才师父说那个人因为愚蠢而痛苦，那如果我在从事人世间的行为的时候，因为我有超然的想法，那我这个不把痛苦当做痛苦的时候，那算不算一种解脱？
能不能把你逻辑再弄清楚？我今天脑子不太好。就是说，我们在人之间从事任何物质活动都会有，但是怀着超然的动机，你是说？对，就有一种超啊，因为在从事物质活动的时候，因为你会受到这个愚蠢的影响，一面的影响，而自己会产生痛苦，对不对？啊，然后你把那个。 超然的动机就是你已经有那个超然的意识了，OK。那这些痛苦已经我不把它感觉当做痛苦了，因为我已经超脱我的那个想法了。那这样算不算一种？OK。
So, he's asking because of ignorance, we perform material activities, then we feel suffering. How about if I have a transcendental knowledge, even in this world, I still feel suffer, but because I have this transcendental knowledge, I don't feel that kind of suffering. So this kind of a stage can call the liberation.
To have knowledge? Whereby one doesn't suffer? Is that what he's
saying? Yeah, because of knowledge. So even we suffer, but we don't feel so suffer. So this kind of stage is called liberation.
Well, the different types of liberation.
Oh, 他说解脱有不同种类.
And it's, there is... Liberation means that when... No longer has to take birth again.
那个解脱实际上意味着就是人不需要再投生了。Which
means he no longer has to accept either a physical body or a subtle body.
也就是说，他不需要再接受粗糙的躯体和精微的躯体了。Because
the living being who is conditioned has both a physical body and a subtle body.
啊，因为现在生物体嘛，它都是由粗糙的身体和精微的身体套的呢。
And And just as we said in Bhagavad Gita, the soul passes into another body at death.
啊，所以呢，我就在《佛家梵歌》里就告诉我们说，人死了以后，他就会进入另外一个身体。
And because the living being carries his different conceptions of life from one body to the next.
啊，所以那让他不断的投生是因为什么？因为他就是有不同的对生命的那个观念。因为这个观念而一个一个投生。
And he carries his different conceptions of his life from one body to the next in the subtle body.
嗯，那他是怎么把那个不同的生命观带着不同的生命观去投生呢？实际上是那些生命观都在他的精微的躯体里面，所以那个精微的躯体带着不同的生命观把他给带到另外一个身体。
Therefore, liberation is not complete until one has actually also freed from not only the gross body.But also the subtle body.
Okay, 所以如果一个人，他这个光是去除物质的躯物，就是粗糙的躯体，那个解脱不是完整的。他必须连那个精微的躯体都没有了，才是完整的解脱。
Having knowledge actually can lead to liberation.
那有超然的知识，实际上是可以把我们引向解脱。
But liberation can only be given by.Mukunda or Krishna, who is the giver of liberation.
但是解脱只有至尊主才能给予，所以他至尊主的名字叫 Mukunda， 就是解脱的给予者。
Which is complete liberation.
那那个解脱就是完整的解脱。
Therefore, it states that ihayasya hare dasi kamana manasa gira nikala vapyavastasu jivan mukta suchite that anyone who completely engages His mind, his body, and his words in the service of Mukunda.
所以经典里头就有一节诗说了，如果一个人把自己的身口意全部都完全专注于侍奉那位叫做穆昆达的人，就是解脱。
He has liberated soul even though he's still in the body.
如果一个人这么做的话。那么他哪怕是还在这个粗糙的躯，还在这个躯体里，他已经被视为是解脱的人。
Simply to have knowledge is not sufficient for liberation, even within the body.
所以说，仅仅光有知识，并不能够就说这个人就解脱了。
Unless one has complete knowledge of his relationship with Mukunda.
直到一个人能够有了他跟。至尊主穆昆达就是解脱的赐予者，彼此之间到底是什么关系？那样的知识以后，他才有完整的知识。
That is complete liberation.
那个解脱才是真正的解脱，完整的解脱。
But certainly, knowledge can bring us relief from distress.
那当然了，知识肯定会把我们的就是感到的痛苦啊啊这个压力啊沮丧啊这些，它有一个缓解。
And Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita that we actually strive for transcendental knowledge.
啊，所以呢，这个 Krishna 在《国家梵歌》里就说了，我们应该去追寻超然的知识。
老师，我再补充一下哈，那个时间在这个人在我们现在的生活当中啊，那个。一般来讲的话，我们的定义就是说，它到最后停止的时候，它一般来讲都代表，因为有时间的存在，所以说就是痛苦哦，哈，到最后就是一种痛苦的感觉。那在我们在现在的日常的生活，我们现在的生活当中，我们可不可以利用时间去追求快乐，真正的快乐？
你重说一遍。
好 ，OK， 那个时间。时间有我们来讲时间的话，造成我假设我来讲的话，我在日常生活中，我有痛苦跟快乐，这两样的东西，那真正的，以昆士兰的意思来讲的话，他应该在这个时间，在人世间的时候，应该用什么样才会感觉到快乐，真正的快乐这样？
你们听懂他的问题吗？
那就是说我在讲就是快乐了，我们就说在我现在活在当下，我要快乐。那因为我受到时间的制约，
觉得不快乐，
变得不快乐。那我，但是我还是想要快乐。那应该用什么方法？
Okay. So everybody looking for happiness, but because we, under the influence of time, so we don't feel happy. So, which way can make me happy?
Which way can it be?
Yeah, can you tell me which way we should use them make me feel happy?
Which way we should use what?
Logically is that everybody looking for happiness,
mm-hmm.
but everybody because they under the influence of the time, so they don't feel happy. So can you tell us how we can become happy?
Yes. As we try to explain, the best way to become happy
mm-hmm.
is to become free from the influence of time by establishing our connection with the Supreme.
那我们就刚才解释了，我们要变得快乐的那个方法，就是透过跟至尊者相连，让自己超越时间的影响。
There are three types of happiness.
那个快乐有三种。
First type of happiness, the happiness which is derived from sense enjoyment.
第一种快乐就是从感官享乐那儿得到的快乐。
But that's not real happiness.
但这不是真正的快乐。
Because it's temporary.
这是短暂。
Has a beginning and an end.
总是有开始和结束的时候。
Right. Second type of happiness is the happiness derived from liberation.
那第二种快乐呢，是靠解脱得到的快乐。
Which means the happiness derived from relief from suffering.
也就是说，是减除了痛苦，减轻了痛苦而得到的一种快乐感。
But there are different types of liberation.
但是呢，那种解脱也是有不同的种类的。
There are liberation of merging into the supreme.
有一种解脱就是让自己融入到至尊者里面去。
To merge into the totality of the oneness.
就是融入到那个一体里面合一。
And to give up our eternal individuality that we spoke about.
而且呢是放弃自己的永恒的那个身份。
Simply merging into the totality of oneness of the Supreme.
意思就是说，放弃自己永恒的那个身份，然后融入到那个一的那个光里面去。But
that liberation is not complete.
但是这样的解脱不是完整的。It's
not complete because we're eternal by nature.
这不是之所以说的是不完整的，因为我们的本性都是永恒的。
We have eternal consciousness.
而且我们都有永恒的意识。
Which means that we're sentient beings.
Which means
we are sentient beings with senses.
有那个意识的意思，就是说我们会意识到这个存在的这个。
It's artificial to become nothing.
所以硬要把自己就搞得就好像没有身份了，那个是人为的不自然的一种状态。
Because we're something.
因为我们是什么东西啊？
Therefore, this type of happiness to relief from suffering is the second type of happiness.
所以这种就是从痛苦的状态当中解脱出来，这个是第二类。
And it definitely gives happiness.
但是呢，确确实实从痛苦的状态解脱出来，也是让人能感到高兴的。But
it's nothing compared to the third type of happiness.
但是这一切都不能够跟第三种快乐相比。The
third type of happiness is the happiness one derives from service to Krishna.
第三种快乐就是透过为至尊神 Krishna 做服务而得到的快乐。
Which is happiness in its most natural form.
而这种快乐是最自然的一种形式的快乐。
Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure.
因为 Krishna 至尊神，他是快乐的泉源。And
Krishna can give a pleasure far greater than liberation.
Krishna 他可以给我们的快乐，要比解脱你能够感受得到的快乐，要不知道要强多少，大多少。Therefore,
one who really wants to be happy.
所以，当一个人他真正的想要快乐的时候，
won't simply try to avoid distress.
他就不会是只是避免痛苦。By
simply seeking liberation from suffering.
他就不会是仅仅是想着我要怎么解脱，然后避免痛苦。Because
one who seeks Krishna's pleasure first.
因为当人如果先去想到至尊神的那个快乐，then
liberation stands waiting at that person's doorstep with her hands folded, waiting to serve.
对，如果他
首要的动机是想让至尊神先高兴的话，那个时候经典里说解脱就会双手合十的站在这种人的门外等着为他做福
音。 One doesn't even have to endeavor for it.
所以这样的人他甚至根本不需要解脱而去做努力。
But that liberation is only simply a small fragment.
但是呢，对这种来说，那个解脱只不过就是很微不足道的一个东西。
Of what the eternal soul experiences.
跟这个永恒的灵魂他所体验到的那个真正的快乐相比，那个解脱就算不上什么了。
When they establish their connection with the reservoir of all pleasure.
啊，因为那个人他跟那个一切快乐的那个泉源接触上了，他的那种快乐解脱是微不足道的。
And that connection can only be established through service.
而那种连接怎么才能够连接上？只有透过做服务才能连接上。
And we have to exist to serve.
所以呢，如果我们要做服务的话，我们必须是一种存在的状态才能做服务。
Therefore, those who desire to not exist miss out.
所以那些个想要把自己的存在完全消灭掉的人，他没这个机会了。
Of all that unlimited bliss which becomes available through service.
所以如果是做服务的话，那么就是有无限的快乐可以享受。那些人就
That's the highest happiness.
所以这个是最高等的。
An intelligent person should endeavor for that.
所以有智慧的人应该为这个目标而做努力。
Okay.
Hi.
Okay.